Sarika Mehta speaking with travel guru and public broadcasting personality Rick Steves.
And this is Sam talking to you, dear listener, inviting you to become a member of KBOO Community Radio at 877-500-5266. Become part, become a member of KBOO Portland. Join up with Leslie, who renewed her membership from Rhododendron, Oregon. And join in your support of KBOO with Fire on the Mountain at 1708 East Burnside, proudly serving free-range chicken wings with 12 house-made sauces and their hand-crafted ales and lagers. For more information and to find the location nearest you, you can visit portlandwings.com. And Petisco, 1411 Northeast Broadway, located in Northeast Irvington with a rotating menu serving sandwiches, dinner, and brunch. And Biwa, a Japanese izakaya-style restaurant located at 215 Southeast 9th Avenue in inner Southeast Portland. More information at biwarestaurant.com or 503-239-8830. And a different number you can call is 877-500-5266 and become an active supporting member of KBOO Community Radio, because that's what matters to you. Having a space on the radio dial that is committed to bringing you what you want and what you need and to reflecting your interests. 877-500-5266. You know that you cannot find a program like Rose City Native elsewhere, that only KBOO Community Radio makes a space for this kind of perspective. And that's why you support KBOO. That's why you're going to log on to kboo.fm and use the safe, convenient, easy, and secure web form to make your fully tax-deductible 501c3 type investment in community media. You are going to divert your funds, your wealth, away from the war machine of U.S. imperialism. You are not going to fund Manifest Destiny because you don't believe in that. What you believe in is the people, the community, having a voice. Not only a voice, everyone's got a voice, but having a platform on which to speak their truths. So everyone can reach out to everyone else and we can find out what's going on and we can join up together in our diverse and varied struggles for justice, because there is that unifying theme. We all thirst for justice.
Preach.
We all hunger
Preach.
For information, and we can
Preach.
Have that. We can have that, but we can only have it with your support. 877-500-5266. You may, astute listeners will remember that my name is Sam, and I am joined right now by my new friend, Jason Prettyboy. Welcome to KBOO.
I feel the spirit. I must find a phone and call right now. 877-500-5266, because I must give after that impassioned speech. I don't know how you're not grabbing the phone right now and jumping up and saying, yes, I want to give to KBOO. This is what I want to do. After listening to him give that impassioned speech and telling us what KBOO is about, what your money does for KBOO, what your money does for yourself, really, it brings yourself as a member. You become an owner of KBOO. You become a person that can say, you know what, I really like Rose City Native Radio. I enjoy that show every day that it's on. I think it's on every week, but yeah, it should be on every day. But I'm going to give you $20. That's all I'm going to give you right now is $20, because that's all I have in my pocket. But I'm going to give you $20, KBOO. And you know what KBOO is going to say? We're going to say thank you.
And we're going to ring the bell for you.
Right.
But you've got to ring our bell right now. The bells of the ringers on these phones. Okay, it's not really a bell. I think it's digital. But that's okay. What really matters is that you are getting involved. You are taking a hand in your community's future, in your community's vitality and well-being. We're about to go right to Rose City Native. So make that call now to make sure you don't miss any of it. 877-500-5266. Make that call right now.
And thank you, Sam and Jason. And as Sam said, stay tuned right now for Rose City Native Radio. This is KBOO Portland.
500 years ago, there were people on both sides of the Atlantic Ocean, but neither knew about the other. On the western side, our side, the people had reddish-brown skins and lived in huts or wigwams. On the eastern side, in Europe, the people were white-skinned. They had learned how to build houses and large sailing ships,
but they still didn't know much about the rest of the world. The ships reached land, and Columbus and his crew saw the people with reddish-brown skins who lived there.
Oh, I think it is rather surprising that they should have reddish-brown skins. But now since we have landed in India, then these people must be Indians.
You're listening to Rose City Native Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Malmstrom. Today on the show, we'll be listening to a clip from John Trudell's performance at Hempstock last week. We will also be listening to part two of our interview with Native historian Laura Reagan. And we will also be listening to the second episode of the Super Indian radio play. But today in the news, on Monday, the Seattle Council unanimously passed the resolution to make the second Monday in October Indigenous Peoples Day. Tribal members and other supporters say the move recognizes a rich history of the people who have lived here for centuries. The Bellingham City Council also is considering making the second Monday in October Coastal Salish Day. Hawaii, Alaska, Oregon, and South Dakota do not recognize Columbus Day at all. South Dakota celebrates the day as Native American Day, and the city of Berkeley, California replaced Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day back in 1992. Town's name is a little bit weird. Sistopol, I think that's how you say it, and Santa Cruz in California, and Dane County in Wisconsin, have also done the same and celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day instead of Columbus Day. So last Sunday, John Trudell performed at Hempstock at the Waterfront in Portland, and KBOO's Don Zur and myself recorded a clip of his performance. And enjoy.
Marijuana activism. He was a part of the American Indian Movement and the First Nations, and they took over Alcatraz back in the 60s and 70s. He's done so many different things. It is an honor and a pleasure and a delight and a golden opportunity to sit here and enjoy this guy. Please put your hands together and show your love for John Trudell and Bad Dog.
Herself well through the ages. She survives all man has done. In some tribes, she is free. In some religions, she is under man. In some societies, she's worth what she consumes. In some nations, she is delicate strength. In some states, she is told she is weak. In some classes, she is property owned. In all instances, she is sister to earth. In all conditions, she is life bringer. In all life, she is our necessity. See the woman eyes, flowers swaying on scattered hills, sun dancing, calling in the bees. See the woman heart, lavender butterflies fronting blue skies, misty rain falling on soft wild roses. See the woman beauty, lightning streaking, dark summer nights, forest of pines mating with new winter snow.
See the woman's spirit. Daily serving courage with laughter. Her breath, a dream, and a prayer. See the woman. She has a young face, an old face. She carries herself well through the ages. She survives all man has done.
That was John Trudell at Hempstock last Sunday. You're listening to Rose City Native Radio. I am joined today by Jason Pretty Boy. Jason, how you doing?
I'm not on. Oh, there we go. It's on. It's live. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
You know, pretty good. I had a good drive over here. You know, I'm not one of those Portlanders that has the bike. You know, I have to actually drive from where I live. So had a nice drive over here. It's a beautiful day out there. For those of you that are out there enjoying it, I am hoping that you are having the time of your life. But in the meantime, I want you to step up and grab hold of a phone and give us a call at 877-500-5266. Wow. 5266. There we go. There we go. We are in the middle of our fund. Well, actually, we're kind of nearing the end of our fund drive this year. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys said we would like a little bit shorter, and we answered. We said, yes, we can do that for you, because that's what we're here for. You know, we're here for you. We're here for the public. That's what we really want, is for you guys to be happy listening to us. That's what makes us happy. Now, you know, we know that you know the value of our program. And so, you know, because of that, we have less interruptions in the programming, kind of like what's going on here tonight with Rose City Radio. However, now we've asked you to donate early and you have responded, but you know, we're still a little bit short of our ultimate goal, but we are nearing it with your help. And so I want you to pick up that phone, call 877-500-5266. A little bit about myself. My name is Jason Prettyboy. I was actually elected one of the recently elected one of the new board members here with KABU. And that's how much I really believe in KABU, that I wanted to come and actually give of myself to KABU. And this is the way that I decided to do it, you know, by stepping up and saying, yes, I will be a board member. So, but you can do that too. All you really need to do is pick up your phone, dial 877-500-5266. If you're not near a phone, you can get online at KABU, KBOO.FM. It's a little tip jar up in the right-hand corner. You can click on that, and you can you know, give us what you feel is necessary, what you think we deserve, basically. Now, if you do feel like donating a little bit more, you can donate about $60 or more, and you're eligible to get a pair of tickets for Yacine Bey, also known as Most Deaf. The show is on Friday at 8:30. It's at the Roseland Theater. Local musician Lila Damone will be opening the show. So, you know, $60, that's good. Also, if you're willing to become a member at the $20 a month level, you know, basically we take $20 out of your check. It's no muss, no fuss. Out of your checking account, nobody will have any other access. It's really secure. You will get a hoodie, a KABU hoodie. Now, I have been hearing about this hoodie. I have not seen it yet. They say it is awesome beyond all reason, that there is a huge radio tower, and behind it's a red star, and there's lightning bolts flashing out of it, and it says KABU. Yeah, I'm going to have to go that way. I'm going to actually have to up my donation just so I can get that hoodie. That's all there is to it. And I will get the last hoodie if you don't call first. And call 877-500-5266.
So, Jason, yes. you've got a lot of experience in radio and in native radio, various mm-hmm. kinds of radio. So you obviously have a perspective on the importance of programs like this.
You know, there are very few mainstream radio stations, community radio stations, that have anything to do with native programming. There are native radio stations out there. I will say that. But there are very few, far and far between radio stations that actually will go to the native populations of their cities and say, hey, we want you on the air. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your voice. KABU, one of the exceptions. I mean, there are other stations out there. I know of one in New York City. A good friend of mine, Ghost, Teokusin.
Ghost Horse.
Ghost Horse. There we go. Old friend of mine from way back, and I can't remember his name, so now he's going to probably, you know, disown me. But, you know, he has his radio show out there in New York. It's been on for about almost 30 years, somewhere in thereabouts. You know, so there are stations that will take the time and they'll say, hey, we want that voice. And that's one of the biggest voices that have been pushed forward in Native Americans. We have one of the rising populations here in the city. And it's good that we're being heard on this radio station. And it's something that you're not going to get with other stations. There isn't going to be another station going to the Native community and saying, hey, we want to hear your voice. And KBOO fits that. They do that with everybody. They do that with the houseless population. They do that with every other population out there because we need to be heard. And KBOO has heard that and said, yes, we will put you on the air. We will get you there. So I want you to pick up your phone. Call 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. I'm going to turn it right back over to one of our young and up-and-coming Native DJs in the whole wide world, Miss Jackie over there.
Thank you, Jason. And so you've been waiting for it. We premiered it about a week and a half ago or so. This is episode 2 of Super Indian.
Super Indian.
Super Indian. The origins of wampum bags. 2 years later at the Leaning Oak School, history teacher Jorgen Storm calms his students.
Now, name the 7 clans of the Leaning Oak Band. Hubert.
Yes, Mr. Storm. Eagle, beaver, deer, moose.
Wolf, fish, and bear.
Very good, Derek. You're my best student.
Mr. Storm, I had 4 out of 7. I care.
I care not for whiners, Hubert. Now, my people are the Geats, more commonly referred to as Goths. Bear.
My cousin is a Goth. He wears pasty white makeup and black eyeliner, but he sweats real bad. We call him the Crow.
Does anyone understand what he just said?
Yes, it's Super Indian. Young Hubert Logan continues to harness his superpowers. He and his best friend, General Bear, meet at recess.
Hubert, remember who hauled Derek in? My FBI dad, that's who.
Oh, hi, Derek.
General Bear, your dad is FBI, all right. A fry bread inspector.
Derek, General Bear's dad hauled your butt to juvie.
Wasn't juvie. It was a laboratory.
Yeah, that's what you say.
Okay, put him up.
Derek, Grandma Logan is behind you.
I'm not afraid of that old bag.
Got a job for all of ya.
Yes, ma'am.
Tribal Councilman Jerry Yellowshirt is making a movie and needs extras. Come to the cafeteria after school, boys.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Later that day, Grandma Flora Logan sits before the cameras of Wallace Ward, respected New York anthropologist and filmmaker.
Mrs. Logan, as Leaning Oak's tribal historian and medicine woman, I need your honest opinion on government policies that disregard tribal sovereignty.
Oh, no. I'll cuss.
People don't want happy. Your bitterness will guarantee this documentary a spot at a major film festival, huh?
He'll make us more popular than the Lakotas.
Jerry Yellowshirt! Don't believe everything a guy wearing braids says. Where are you from, Anthroman?
That is none of your concern, Mrs. Logan. Bring in the artifacts, please, Mr. Storm.
Here it is, Mr. Ward. Straight from the school basement. This crate has been sealed since 1924. A boy, help me get the lid open.
Wow, those are some dusty moccasins.
Mr. Storm, look at this cool belt.
Why, my great-grandfather, Horace Yellowshirt, wore that at the spring fling.
Give me that. So, the legend published in Anthro Now is true. Huh? It's the mystical wampum belt of the Iroquois medicine man, Rabbit Micmac. I, Wallace Ward, celebrated Native advocate, take possession of this belt.
No.
Let me adjust it here.
Don't put it on! Power's too great! No!
Oh, wow! Hubert! That Anthro disappeared into dust?
Silly Anthro! Wampum belts aren't for kids. They're for men who can control the power.
Jorgen Storm, don't put it on!
Flora Logan, unlike others of your tribe, I wanted to learn from your medicine.
Mrs. Logan, I'm sorry I dropped out of your storytelling class. I got a conference call. Gotta run.
The wampum belt is mine!
Jürgen Sturm is no more. I am now Wampum Biggs, and I am the boss of you all.
Boys, boys, go get help.
Wampum, let's go to Area 51. I'll show you some real power tools. Follow me.
Derek Thunder, this is the beginning of a beautiful evil friendship. Take that, Flora Logan.
Come back, are you our hoots?
Moments later, a shaken Hubert and General Bear crouch behind the school dumpster.
General Bear, look, smoke.
Hubert, there's Grandma. Oh. She looks like a piece of burnt toast. Grandma! You okay?
Oh, Wampum Bags and Derek, get away with that Wampum belt.
Grandma, when Derek Thunder and Wampum Bags come back, we'll be ready for them.
Yeah.
And there you have it, the evil origins of Super Indian's nemesis, Wampum Bags. Tune in next time for more exciting adventures with Super Indian!
Super Indian!
A Native Voices at the Autry production.
That was episode 2 of Super Indian. We will be playing Super Indian Radio Play every other Thursday. And again, we are joined here with Jason Pretty Boy. Jason's going to talk to you guys a little bit about why you should be a member of KBOO. And after he's done talking, we'll listen to part 2 of our interview with Native historian Laura Reagan. Jason, I hand it off to you.
Arrogant Star there, producing Super Indian. I know that that actually started out as a comic book a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. You know, I met Arrogant Star one time, and I have been changed, a changed man ever since. That woman is something else altogether. But, you know, you're not going to hear that anywhere else but here on KBOO. You know, you're really not. So I want you to pick up your phone, call 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266. And I want you to donate. You know, you don't have to donate very much. You can donate whatever you feel like. $20 is a sustaining membership, though. You can actually get out there and vote. I am lucky that I had friends and family and people that voted for me, paid their $20 and voted for me, and I am now a member of the board. And again, that's my commitment to KBOO. You know, I've stepped forward and I said that, you know, I will run for the board of KBOO. I will be committed and I will help see KBOO through the next couple of years. And that's, you know, you don't have to go that far. You can do a year at a time, you know, so pick up your phone, call 877-500-5266, you know, donate $20. Now, if you're going to do it by the month, that's actually a pretty good way to go because, you know, you're already paying for cable. You know, I know that Teresa said earlier, get rid of cable, get rid of your cable bill. Tend to agree. Get rid of your cable bill. That's $20 that you can actually put towards KBOO. And you're going to get a KBOO hoodie. Now, these things are going fast. I haven't got the last one yet. I know there are still a few out there. They're awesome. I'm gonna harp on the hoodie because I really want a hoodie. And if you guys get to them before I do, well, then that's my own, you know, luck. But that's how it goes. But $20 a month, that's all you really need to give. You know, we have our army of phone bank officers out there back in the back behind me here waiting for your phone calls. They will help you. They are friendly people. I can guarantee you that. They will help you in any way possible to get that $20 into here. Now, if you're going to donate a little bit more, let's say that you're going to donate about $60. Now, this is the other thing I'm going to be pushing tonight, folks. You know, for a donation of $60 or more, you are eligible to get a pair of tickets for Yasin Bey. Now, when we say eligible, it pretty much means you're going to get them. And you're going to get to go see Yasin Bey, a.k.a. Mos Def. This show is on Friday at 8:30. It's at the Roseland Theater. And local musician Lila Damone will be opening the show. Now, the end of the drive is near. We can see this finish line. Now, we want you to step up and be an active member in our community by supporting KBOO today. Become a member at the $10 a month level. You know, anything. We'll take anything. Over $20 and $5, we'll take whatever change you have in your pocket. But you need to pay that $20 in order to be a sustaining member. Now, I want you again to pick up that phone. The number is 877-500-5266. Now, maybe you're away from your phone, or maybe you know, you're in a busy restaurant, or you're somewhere busy, sitting on the side, enjoying the sun that's still up. Get on your phone. go to kboo.fm. kboo.fm. That's our website. Now you get on there and you look in the right hand corner and there's a little tip jar. And all you need to do is click on that tip jar and it will run you through how you can donate to us. And you don't have to call us. You don't have to talk to our friendly army of phone bankers in the back, but you can just, you know, get on online and do it that way. Remember, you can call 877-500-5266, or you can come down here to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, and you can see Jackie in all her glory over there. I'm staring at her right now. It's hard to look away from all the, well, actually grease on her forehead, but, you know, what are we going to do? But, you know, again, one of the young up-and-coming DJs here in the Portland area, yeah, and we get to hear her here on KBOO. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. We're going to turn it back over to Jackie.
We're going to start off with the topic of Columbus Day. Columbus Day is supposed to be on October 13th. Seattle's currently working on changing it to Indigenous Peoples Day. The state of Oregon actually doesn't recognize Columbus Day as a holiday in any shape or form. But kids still learn in school, you know, the rhyme, Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. And they never really hear the true story about that. Can you tell us a little bit about what the true story of Columbus is and why you think people haven't been taught that in school?
Well, I mean, I you know, of course, was taught growing up the same rhetoric of Columbus and his three ships and, you know, his, quote, discovery of America and all of that. It's pretty much, I think, just about every other child in the United States and probably Canada and Latin America is taught as well. You know, the real Columbus was from Genoa, Italy, and he went to a few different monarchs before the Spanish monarchs, Ferdinand and Isabella, backed him to, and, you know, gave him the funding and the ships to travel to, you know, what at the time was, you know, looking for a spice route and all of that. That part of the, you know, story that kids are always taught is correct. And he, you know, upon arriving in what he called the island Hispaniola, which was later what is now the island shared by Haiti and the Dominican Republic, but it could be, you know, he and the other men there very quickly realized that they were not, in fact, in India, and that, you know, the world was much larger than previously estimated. The whole idea that the world was flat and that, you know, he was the only man who knew that it was not, that is a total myth. You know, scholars at that point in time had well established that the earth was round. I mean, even if you are in high enough altitude, you can see the curvature of the earth, as I'm sure most Oregonians know, being that there are mountains there. You know, if you're high enough up, you can see that. So by that point in time, by the 1400s, it had been established that the earth was round, and that whole, you know, flat earth, round earth thing was later added into the story and the myth of Columbus. When he returned, you know, he brought back some people and some treasures that he had, you know, taken from Hispaniola and, you know, promised that if they were to fund him on subsequent voyages, that he would bring back, you know, more wealth than they could imagine. And, you know, slaves and, you know, anything that they could so desire. And so his subsequent voyages were filled with basically the desire to obtain gold and riches and manpower. And that's kind of a brief, I guess you could say, summary of just the actual voyages and all of that. He was well known for being very brutal to the people he encountered. Demanding, you know, because he promised Ferdinand and Isabella gold. Well, there's not actually a whole lot of gold there. And so when the people who he encountered and, you know, forced to go find him gold were not bringing him as much gold as he wanted, he would punish them very brutally. Bartolome de las Casas was a man on the voyage with him and wrote about, you know, in his personal diary about the way that Columbus treated the native people that he saw, and he, you know, wrote a lot about just the brutality in which Columbus treated the Native people that he encountered.
So where do you think the myth of Columbus discovering America came from?
I think it comes from this idea of, you know, this country being this pioneering, you know, rugged individualist kind of people. And, you know, even though Columbus never even set foot on the mainland of North or South America, this kind of ideal has been ingrained into American culture that, you know, this continent was discovered by this rugged individual who, you know, went out against all odds and found this place. And, you know, these pioneers and pilgrims and all of that came over doing the same thing and, you know, carving out an existence for themselves in an untamed wilderness, which is really not true at all. You know, by the time that Europeans arrived in Central and North America, you know, large areas of land had been, you know, clear cut, and or there was farming, there was, you know, large cities in both North America, Central America, South America, all of that, you know, and that, and, the, you know, just the population density of the Americas is way underplayed as well. You know, initially, people said there were only about 1 million indigenous people in North and South America total, when, you know, much later historians and anthropologists have realized that that is just a gross under-exaggeration of the amount of people that were actually here, and that the whole idea of the untamed wilderness and all of that is just simply not true.
Why do you think that still, you know, exists in today's world? It's 2014, yet we still have these old ideals of manifest destiny and discovering new lands.
I mean, I think it kind of goes with the whole, you know, American superiority complex, not necessarily just American superiority complex, but the WASP kind of superior, what I mean by WASP being, you know, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant kind of superiority complex, in that, you know, God has chosen these particular people to have this land, have this destiny. And I think that that still is something that a lot of Americans like to hear. They like to hear that they're favored by God to be, and that what they're doing is right, and that what they always have been doing is right. And, you know, the unpleasant parts of American history are kind of ignored, and not just, you know, treatments of Native Americans, but, you know, other, you know, historical facts that have happened, including, you know, slavery and all of that. You know, people just kind of want to brush that story aside. You know, some of them you can't avoid talking about when it comes to things like slavery, whereas, you know, the Civil War is definitely something that you can't avoid talking about. But other events in American history, you can kind of skirt around that issue and say, well, look how great this country is, and we did this wonderful thing and made this, you know, and it's still the whole idea of this American dream that, you know, anybody can carve out an existence for themselves and be prosperous in this country, when, you know, that's unfortunately in this country, not all people are afforded the same opportunities as each other. And that's still a reality in 2014.
Hello, this is Chris. I like what you said, and I, you know, agree with it. So, and then, so today, all that stuff, that, you know, the manifest destiny, it is still affecting Native people today, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a lot of oppression, and there's a lot of gang violence, there's, you know, alcoholism, drug addiction, all that is the result of oppression. You know, you put people on the reservation, you know, what are they going to do? You know, you take the best land from them, you know, and then you keep them under by creating these law ratifying treaties, and you know, you're going to get a generations of people that are, you know, very dysfunctional. And so most of our res, you know, were the next generation, you know, that we carry that on to them. And so, you know, that we really need to, like, break that cycle as Native people, you know. We stand up against all those things. But it's still going on now. You know, the results of all the Christopher Columbus landing in Haiti. And can you imagine, people wonder how come Haiti can't get it together? You know, they're always like, they're a poor country and all that. But think about it, you know the way they were treated by this guy. You know, they were, you know, dogs ate him. You know, they sicked their dog after the slaves, you know. And, you know, they... really mistreated these people, and from that result of mistreating the people, you know, I think affected a lot of them, because, you know, whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so the people kind of wonder, like, why is Haiti like this? And, like, you know, you think about that, you know, like, man, these people probably because of, you know, what he did. Because, you know, he taught them, Christopher Columbus, he taught these people how to, you know, destroy each other. You know, the women got raped and, you know, all this stuff, man, horrible things happened to them. And today, Native reservations, you know, the struggle continues today.
And yeah, I was actually explaining to somebody at work recently, because a coworker of mine was asking me about natives and alcoholism, and I was explaining to him, like, you know, native people, yes, there, you know, is that stereotype that, you know, native people are more, you know, are drunks or more likely to be alcoholics or whatever, but, you know, if you look at the conditions and you look at the fact that, because he didn't understand necessarily what a reservation even was. And I said, a reservation was, you know, they take this crappy piece of land that they don't want to live on, and they put the Indians there. And then there's no jobs, and there's, you know, no prospects for anything. And, you know, and so depression and, you know, high suicide rates and all of those things are so prevalent in those locations, because what is there there? You know, there's no jobs. There's no room for advancement, you know, and people say, oh, well, if you don't like the reservation and leave. Well, if you can't afford to even have a house or a vehicle on the reservation, how are you supposed to make it in a city?
I've heard some activists refer to reservations as prisoner of war camps.
Concentration
camps.
Wait, you know, I went back down to the res not too long ago, and I was down there for 3 months, and I seen everything I just mentioned, and you could feel the difference between Portland and the res. You know, here in Portland we have everything. But you go down there, man, is you could feel the energy, you know, of oppression. And, you know, that's why we you know, one of the things that they can do is change the name Columbus. I know in Denver people are getting thrown arrested, you know, getting thrown in jail for protesting that Columbus Day down there, you know. And Seattle, they're changing it. And I think Portland needs to change it too. And one of the things they could do is, like, change all, you know, that national holiday, change the whole thing. And that's one of the ways that, you know, that oppression, you know, keeping us down and put some pride in us by, you know, helping us out like that, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, you know, or even if they were to make a holiday, like, you know, we have holidays for specific people, you know, let's make a Chief Joseph Day or a Geronimo Day or some, you know, something, like, or an Indigenous Peoples Day to include everybody, I think would be definitely, you know, something that people would take pride in and that people would, you know, would get behind for sure. And I think that would be, even though, of course, it's not necessarily going to fix anything, it's at least going to give people a sense of pride in who they are and, you know, their history. And
yeah, and we need to break that cycle too, you know, because our kids are listening to that. Yeah. Kids are, you know, and other kids hear what, you know, what these football players are saying or what other people are saying, and they're being called, you know, names, and, you know, they're teased. And I remember some kids are even cut their hair because of it, you know, because they're being called girls, you know, all these things, you know, little small things really do matter, you know.
Yeah, I went to a high school, and our biggest rival, their mascot was the Indians. And I remember feeling really, like, threatened at times, because we would have, you know, a football game coming up, and they'd hang up signs that said, like, you know, scalp the Indians. Or one year there was a homecoming float where they had a girl who, she was actually Asian, sitting in a canoe on fire on the float. And they had her hair braided and put, you know, fake feathers in her hair to symbolize, you know, burning the Indians. And I remember feeling like I was the only one in my school who had, or my sister too, had any problem with this. And people, you know, asked me, well, what's the big deal? Why do you, you know, why is this such a big deal? Why is this a problem? And I'm like, how is this not a problem? How can you not see that this is threatening to me as an Indian person to sit here and say, you know, burn the Indians? Like, that's not okay. And if it were in any other, I feel like if it were another racial group that was, you know, that was as a mascot and these things were said, people would be upset. But for whatever reason, it's socially acceptable to do this to Indians.
You're listening to part two of our interview with Native historian Laura Reagan, but we now bring you back to Membership Central with the wonderful Jason Prettyboy.
Hey, thanks, Jackie. You're pretty wonderful yourself. So, you know, we do need to thank some of the area businesses that have helped us out in feeding our army of phone bankers in the back here. You know, Fire on the Mountain at 1708 East Burnside. You can get a hold of them at portlandwings.com. Also, Petisco at 1411 Northeast Broadway, located also in Northeast Irvington. And by BWA, I was going to say that wrong either which way, BWA at 215 Southeast 9th Avenue. Get a hold of them at 503-239-8830. Speaking of phone numbers, we need you to pick up your phone and dial 877-500-5266 and donate $20 to KBOO. Keep us on the air. Keep good radio shows like the one that you're listening to right now, Rose City Native Radio, talking about Columbus Day, mascot issues, and all things that affect Native Americans, not only in the Portland area, but nationwide and even worldwide. We also do need to thank Sarah. Yay, Sarah, renewing in Southwest Portland, and Judith, renewing in, actually, Sarah is in Southwest Portland, Judith is in Southeast Portland. We want to thank you both. You know, and that's what happens. When you call in, you get to renew. You get to sign up for the first time. You get to, you know, be a part of KBOO, be a part of community radio. You know, it's something that I really believe in, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You know, the reason that I believe in community radio is because I've been a part of it for so long. Almost 20 years now that I have been a part of community radio in some form or fashion, and every time, anywhere I've ever gone, I understand that it's you, the listener, you, exactly you, looking at you. I'm looking right at you right now through your speaker. You're the one that keeps us on the air. You are the one that keeps us giving you quality shows like Rose City Native Radio. So pick up your phone, 877-500-5266. If you're not near a phone, you can go online, kboo.fm, kboo.fm, and you can click on the little tip jar up in the right-hand corner, and you can donate that way. You know, if you give a $75 minimum, you can get a Democracy Now! T-shirt. Hey, you know what, Jackie? You need to get some cool swag for next year's, you know, fun drive, so we can give away some cool swag from your stuff, from your show as well.
I'll get right on that, sir.
All right. But anyway, until then, $75 gets you a Democracy Now! T-shirt. These are pretty cool. 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. Kick it back over to Rose City Native Radio and your hostess with the mostest, Jackie Malmstrom.
I definitely think that there's a lack of education when it comes to a history of indigenous peoples here in America. And in regards to Columbus, you know, he was just still seen as this great discoverer, but they didn't really talk about what he did. You know, he enslaved the native people there and sent them back to Spain. He, you know, mined out all the gold he could find, but there wasn't a whole lot on the island. But regardless of that, you know, if the natives didn't meet their quota, he would disfigure them. He would cut their hands off, their ears off, their nose off, send them back to the village as a warning to the other native people. He lied to Ferdinand and Isabella, saying that there was so much more gold than there actually was on the island. And so rebellion started. Some native people even tried to flee into the mountains to escape this horrible fate. And they were hunted down, executed, and fed to his dogs. You know, it got so bad that even the settlers there were, appalled at the way he was treating these native peoples. He was losing control of his colonies. He was losing control of the natives because they continued to revolt, even though they were punished severely by disfigurement and paraded around their villages or sold into slavery. They continued to fight. So the king and queen sent down somebody to assess the situation, to see what was happening down there. And what he saw was so absolutely disgusting that he arrested Columbus and his brother, and they were sent back to Spain to stand trial on the atrocities against these native people. They were jailed, unfortunately, only for 5 weeks. And after that time, the King Ferdinand had ordered their release. And after they pleaded to the king and queen, they did have their freedmen wealth restored, but he was not allowed to go back to Hispaniola. And in just a few years of this whole thing going on, 50,000 natives died. of starvation, suicide, disease, disfigurement, you know, the amputations, or wars. He also brought over a bunch of diseases from the old world, if you will. Bubonic plague, chickenpox, cholera, common cold, influenza, leprosy, malaria, measles, scarlet fever, smallpox, typhoid fever, whooping cough, yellow fever. I mean, so many horrible diseases over to these people. So many of them were wiped out. And we don't seem to talk about this. It's more just congratulations for discovering America, even though he didn't discover America. He didn't even set foot on North American soil, if you will. He landed on these islands. And we only cover he sailed, he discovered, the end. So there's definitely this kind of lack of education, if you will, about things like that. You know, it's just become, it's almost not really real to them because no one has really talked about this a lot. You know, and it still happens today with stuff like the Trail of Tears. I mean, it was just in August when Oklahoma State was going to play Florida State in college football, and the Oklahoma State students made a sign that said, "Send them home on the Trail of Tears." Hashtag Trail of Tears. Like, this, it means nothing to them because they haven't been taught about it, really. You know, it's just become a saying almost, just like Indian Giver. So I think that's definitely a big problem. I mean, I don't remember learning it in school at all. I remember, you know, I learned about the Trail of Tears from that song Indian Reservation by Paul Revere and the Raiders. That is how I learned about it. You know, my father had to tell me about it from this, you know, after listening to this rock song. So that's definitely a big problem. They need to educate more about, you know, the Trail of Tears, the Navajo Longest Walk, like all these other things. I didn't even know about boarding schools until way later in life. You know, so that seems to definitely be a problem. And, you know, when we covered Native Americans, from what I can remember, most of it was really like Thanksgiving happened, and then Manifest Destiny was doing its thing. White people started walking all over the place, and the Indians were like, okay, cool, we're going to be over here. And then they just got in their canoes and went off to, you know, that place that the elves go to at the end of Lord of the Rings, this happy right. little land. And that's the last that you hear of them.
That's one thing that in school myself, I was always, you know, I remember sitting down in a world history class, and, you know, world history in high school is like Egypt and Greece and maybe a little bit of Asia and Europe. And I remember saying, well, when are we going to learn about, you know, Native people in North and South America? And the teachers say, oh, well, that's, we save that for U.S. history. And so then I'd sit down in my U.S. history class the next year, and we'd start with maybe a page in the textbook about Natives and say, oh, there were some brown people here. And then white people happened, and then that was the history class, you know, starting with the Declaration of Independence or the Pilgrims or whatever. And I'd say, well, when are we going to talk about Native Americans? And they said, oh, we leave that to world history. And so both, you know, fields within the education system are just saying, well, the other person's going to cover that. Well, the other person's going to, and nobody covers it. And I mean, I knew about boarding schools when I was younger because I, you know, we have, you know, family and friends who were in boarding schools, and, you know, but they even didn't like to talk about it because it was such a horrible experience for them. And I wasn't until I was in a college classroom that a teacher actually taught the class about boarding schools, but this was in a specific Native history class as well. It wasn't just like a survey of U.S. history. It was in a class, a Native history class, where, you know, it was in a class where the students who were in that class were in there because they were interested in learning Native history. So it's not even something that all students are being taught.
Exactly. And it's something that should be taught at all levels of school, elementary, middle school, high school, you know, cover the moving of the tribes, you know, the boarding schools.
And various massacres that happened.
Yes,
you know, my tribe experienced a massacre from the U.S. Cavalry out of Fort Hood in Texas. And, you know, that's, you know, where is that in the history books? Where's Sand Creek? Where's Wounded Knee? You know, and that kind of stuff isn't covered. And even my son, you know, he was talking about that his favorite U.S. president was Abraham Lincoln because he freed the slaves and that he believed in equality and all that. And I said, you know, Jarek, actually, I hate to burst your little bubble, but, you know, Abraham Lincoln didn't believe in equality. You know, what he did was a political move, and he's even quoted as saying he felt that white people were superior. And he was really, my son was really disappointed to learn that because he was still taught that this, you know, that Abraham Lincoln was this, you know, great savior who believed in equality when nobody else did. And, you know, while of course, you know, he, as a president, you know, he did a very important thing and with the Emancipation Proclamation, you know, the rhetoric that's taught about him is this, you know, oversimplified, glorifying story instead of what he actually did and why he actually did it. And it's lying to our children. It's, you know, teaching them this, you know, Euro-American-centric view of history that's wrong. And, you know, by the time a student gets to high school or college, they've already had, you know, 10, 11 years, 12 years of wrong information being taught to them, so they're going to push back when you tell them the correct information. And that's why we need to start teaching correct history from the beginning so that that doesn't happen.
Laura, I want to really thank you for joining us today. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I look forward to having you on the show again soon.
Oh, great. I'm so glad that you asked me to do this, and I'm looking forward to doing it again.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining us.
That was our interview with Laura Reagan, Native historian. I'm sitting here with Jason Prettyboy here at Membership Central, and we're going to talk to you a little bit about why you should be a KBOO member.
So listening to that, Jackie, you really got into it.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of passion, well, and compassion too, but that kind of passion that, you know, kind of marks KBOO as different than normal radio stations, because our DJs are passionate about what they do. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. You know, almost every one of them, I would say pretty much every one of them, is a volunteer. They do this because of the love of radio. And that is why you should pick up your phone and dial 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266 and donate. Donate what you can. You know, if you donate $6.25 a month, $6.25 a month, basically the price of two overpriced bad cups of coffee, ends up being about $75 a year. $75 a year, you know, keeps shows like Rose City Native Radio on the air. It keeps shows like one that's coming up next. I believe it's Hard Knock Radio.
Yes.
And there will be an interview with Bobby Seale, co-founder of the Black Panther Party. And you are not going to get that anywhere else but on KBOO. If you can't pick up a phone right now, you can go online at kboo.fm, kboo.fm. Click on the little tip jar up in the right-hand corner and, you know, donate what you want. Donate what you feel is comfortable with yourself. Now, if you're out and about and you're enjoying this beautiful evening, you know, I don't think we're going to have too many of them left anymore. I think we're getting close to the bad time of the year that we all, you know, love and dread at the same time.
Pumpkin spice season.
Pumpkin spice season. But if you're going to, you know, if you're out and about enjoying that evening, enjoying the afternoon, come out to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Mm-hmm. This is where our studios are at. This is where the world headquarters of KBOO reside. You can come and check us out in here. You can look at Jackie. You can look at me. You know, you can look at the beauty that is myself.
And majestic, you know, stoic figure.
And the Igor that is Jackie.
Love you too, Jason.
Yeah, okay. But if you can't do that, pick up your phone. Dial 877-500-5266. That will connect you with our army of able-bodied volunteers behind us who are willing to take your donation. Now, if you donate about $60 or more, you're eligible to get a pair of tickets for Yasiin Bey, also known as Mos Def. Now, the show is on Friday at 8:30. It's at the Roseland Theater. Lila Damone will be opening the show. So, you know, $60 or more gets you eligible for those tickets. Now, Yasiin hasn't been allowed in the country for quite a while, and this is his first time back in the States. And so you kind of need to go check him out and see what's up with him. Now, the other side of this is the end of the drive is coming up. You know, we're only about 23 and a half hours, maybe about 23 hours left in our drive, in our fun drive. And we want you to step it up. We want you to pick up your phones, call 877-500-5266. Now, if you're for $75 minimum donation, we're going to give you a Democracy Now! T-shirt. Now, these things are pretty awesome. Black shirt with red and white Democracy Now! Logo on front, the web URL on the back. If you also want to donate $75, but maybe you're not a Democracy Now! Fan, I don't know how come you're not, but maybe you're not. You can get a 4-gig news flash drive that is from KBOO. Exclusive KBOO content includes recorded talks by Bill McKibben, Amy Goodman, Greg Palas, Raj Patel. And maybe news isn't your thing. You can get a 4-gig audio flash drive featuring audio from KBOO's live remotes and in-studio performances. Many live performances from Monday Sampler, Life During Wartime, Ditch Digger, Moving On, you know. It's everything. There's everything out there that you can pick up yourself if you just call, you know, 877-500-5266 and donate. Come on down to the studios, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. You know, we'll let you see the studio, let you walk through for a little bit. We'll take you on a guided tour, but, you know, we'll let you see it. $20 a month can get you a hoodie. That's what you want. That's the ultimate right there. It's a KBOO hoodie. It is awesome. I've seen it. It's awesome. There's a radio tower with a big red star if you're into stars in the background, lightning bolts all over the place. It's awesome. You need one. So become a $20 sustaining member. That's what you need to do. So, Jackie, are you a sustaining member?
Not yet.
Then you need to be. You need to go over there and pay your $20 so yes. You can be a sustaining member. And people, I want you to follow her example. Mm-hmm. Give us a call, 877-500-5266, and follow our beautiful host of Rose City Native Radio, Jackie, over there in, you know, becoming a sustaining member. $20 a month, that's all you need to do. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea, Jason.
Okay.
You know, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you, 877-500-5266, or you can go online at kboo.fm. I know we have a lot of people who are out of state listening in on our streaming service we offer on KBOO. And don't be afraid, just because you don't live in Oregon doesn't mean that we will not accept your donations. We would love to hear from you out of state as well. 877-500-5266. And again, $5 a month, $6 a month, cheaper than a price of fry bread at a powwow, people. You can help support community radio here. And there's just nothing better than that, isn't it, Jason?
No, there's not. No. Fry bread is good.
Fry bread is very
good. KBOO is better.
Yes. It'll need to lose a few pounds and maybe spend your fry bread money here. We would love to have it. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. There are so many reasons to donate, so little time to list them, but, you know, $75 pays for, what, an hour or more?
Something like that. Yeah. I don't have the exact numbers. I was actually giving wrong numbers yesterday. My bad. Oh. You know, that's what happens when you come on board a little late in the game. But, you know, your money does pay for something. Oh, there it is.
There it is.
If I would actually look around. $771,000 was our 2015 expenses. $2,150 a day, or $88 an hour. $88 an hour, folks. That's what it keeps. That's what keeps us on the air here. You know, we're going to turn it back over to Jackie to finish up the show, as she always does in her normal, beautiful way, as the Navajo say, Nejoni, I believe. Yeah.
Thank you, Jason. So, coming up, we have here on our community calendar, October 13th, Stories of Home, an Indigenous Journey. That's at the PSU Native American Student Center, 710 Southwest Jackson Street, from 5 to 8 p.m. The workshop explores connections between social justice and creativity in honoring Native identities and stories of home. October 22nd, Winona LaDuke will be speaking at the PSU Smith Student Union Ballroom at 7 p.m. And also on October 22nd, a viewing of Young Lakota at NEA Family Center at 5135 Northeast Columbia Boulevard from 5:30 to 8 p.m. There will also be a discussion panel afterwards in honor of Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And October 25th is the NARA Family Fun 10th Annual Boo Bash at the Oregon Convention Center, 777 Northeast MLK Boulevard. That's from 3 to 9 p.m. Follow us on Facebook. We would love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook at Rose City Native Radio. We also have our own Instagram if you would like to see what myself and Jason look like. Backstage photos, if you will, of the goings-on of the show. Follow us on Instagram at Rose City Native Radio. If you have an event, a local Native event that you know of, or if you'd like to contact us, you can reach us at pdxnativeradio@gmail.com. And if you're interested in volunteering at KBOO, you can email volunteer@kboo.org. This has been Rose City Native Radio. Thanks for listening, Indian Country. See you next week.
And the preceding KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from U.S. Agencies Credit Union, providing local banking resources since 1936, and proudly serving Native Americans and their families. Details at usacu.org. You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM in Portland, 91.9 FM Hood River in the Gorge at K220HR Hood River, and at K282BH Philomath at 104.3 FM Philomath and Corvallis. Coming up in a minute, Hard Knock Radio. Fight the Power on KBOO. That's the theme of this year's News and Public Affairs Day, this Friday, October 10th, from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Highlights include Nation Magazine columnist Katha Pollitt talking about her new book, Pro Reclaiming Abortion Rights, and the ALEC Project, an investigation of Oregon legislation which has been influenced or created by the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC. So fight the power and support KBOO. That's News and Public Affairs Day this Friday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. on KBOO Portland.
Yo, this is M1 from Dead Press.
Hey, what's up? This is Boots from the Coup.
Nah, I mean, telling you to stay tuned to Hard Knock Radio.
Keep it locked.
On the move, this is Pam Africa on Hard Knock Radio, the station of resistance.
Davey D hanging out with you, Hard Knock Radio. On the phone line with us, co-founder of the Black Panther Party, Bobby Seale. Bobby, we wanted to have you on as we were looking back at what would have been the 70th birthday of Huey P. Newton. And we wanted to see if you could share maybe some thoughts, some insights, some things that have been left out of the history books that we really need to take and maybe build upon when we look back at the legacy of this organization that you guys started in 1966.
Yeah, the Black Panther Party, my organization, the Black Panther Party. I'm the founding chairman and national organizer of the Black Panther Party in the United States of America. Huey P. Newton is the founding minister of defense.